Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And also the hashtag noted jerk, Joe, thanks again for taking some time today. And it's always a great chance to talk to you once again.
Yeah, it's always great talking pucks with you, Braden. It's a wonderful day, even if it's raining out. It's a wonderful day.
100%. It's always wonderful in Western New York. It doesn't matter what time of year it is. The elite season is the elite season, but I mean, it's always great to be around here, and always great chatting with you as well, Joe.
Yeah, let's. You know what else makes it great around here? A 3-0 hockey team.
I know. I love that transitional ploy that you just played there. The Sabres, in case you haven't heard, Joe, they are, 3-0 and actually playing really good hockey. Surprisingly enough, I'll get to the surprising factors in a bit, but just what is the one thing that's stood out to you most here, Joe, with this hockey team through the first three games here? Maybe it's not even one thing, maybe it's a series of things, but what exactly has stood out to you the most with this team?
Well, there are a few things that stand out, but the main thing to me is the pace of play. They're playing in a kind of where they're pushing the play. They're not letting teams dictate the play. We hear coaches talk about this stuff all the time, but the way they're playing and getting up on the puck all over the ice, not just kind of sitting back in a defensive formation waiting for the opponent to come to them. They're saying forget that. Let's get on them. Let's see what they can do if we're in their face. And the forecheck game has been outstanding. I look at guys like Anders Bjork and Rasmus Asplund. They've been dynamite on that. And everybody's talking about Zemgus and Kyle Pozo and Cody Eakin. Although I know he's banged up now, but the way that they play, the way they've kind of set the tone for how to do these things is great. And on a team that's kind of lacking ultra superstar talent, and that you kind of need everybody to play the same sort of way, and that's what they're doing right now. They're pushing the pace of play, and they're forcing teams to adjust on the fly. And I know the competition hasn't exactly been great to start the year, but wins are wins, and playing good hockey like they are, it's not like they're stealing games and playing bad hockey. They're playing very well,
right?
That's all you can ask for out of this group, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and their biggest test is still, yet to come. The upcoming schedule of games is going to test the Buffalo Sabres in terms of, competition. They play the Bruins tomorrow night at KeyBank Center. They'll go to New Jersey, a newly revamped team led by our good old buddy Lindy Ruff. And then they come back to play Tampa Bay on Monday before heading out west to play a four-game road trip out on the West Coast. Joe, just watching the opening three games, and yes, I get it, it's three games. It's the early, bright, and young part of the season with still plenty of games left to come. But how sustainable do you think this is for the Sabres? And judging from what you've seen and all the stats and everything that you've looked up and everything, how sustainable do you think this could potentially be for the Sabres to at least stay competitive amongst every other team and not be a team that slides back to the basement of the standings again?
Well, I've gotten burned in the past by getting out ahead of myself and taking sample sizes and saying if they continue on this rate, they'll be, a super team and they'll be great. So I don't want to get out on that sort of note, but I will say if this is the brand of hockey they're going to play all season, and if they can keep up with the teams that have greater talent, this is the team that's going to be the pain in the butt team. If you don't come with your 100% game, you're going to have a hard night. And the way that you're getting the play out of Craig Anderson is very good. he's a veteran guy that you kind of knew what you're going to get, but he's playing solid. And I mean, as far as sustainability, I mean, you know, listen, the power play is not going to click at a, you know, 50% rate all season. You know, the penalty kill is not going to be, you know, that kind of stuff isn't going to happen. But those things that they're doing to make it better are good to see. I mean, you can, I mean, everything right now is a small sample size, but there are different things with what they're doing to set up that can make things better and help that make it more sustainable, at least in their style of play. You know, they're not going to go 82-0. I know, disappointing for some. I know I'm being a total negative Nancy about that, but this brand of hockey that they're playing, though, if they can keep playing it and stick to it, they're going to be a very tough team to deal with, and they're going to do much better than what was predicted.
You know, you mentioned the Oposo, Eakin, Gergensen's line producing really well, and I asked this question to Anthony Chandra last hour in the 1:30 segment. But just like, who's the one player that you've seen really stand out to you through the first three games of this stretch here, and just, you know, the one player that has, you know, looked noticeably different from last season in that late success that the team had, despite it not really looking all that great on paper, but the on-ice product was much better. But who do you think has stood out even more to you as this season has already progressed?
Well, I want to give a lot of credit to Tage Thompson. I having to play center is extremely difficult to play in the NHL. It's very hard. And asking him, you know, putting him in the pivot and having him do that for the first time since high school, maybe, you know, going way back in the day when, you know, he was having to do that. I don't know if he ever played center at Connecticut, but he, you know, asking him to do that at the NHL level is hard. Like, that's a hard adjustment, and you have to do different things with your game, you know, as a center. You have to be more responsible defensively. You know, you can't just sort of fly up the wings and do whatever you want to do. He's handled it very well. I mean, he's still getting used to it. There's been some bumps in the road there, but to me, he's done very well in adjusting to that. And I think that's a big credit to him. And that's a big credit to the coaching staff for saying, like, you know what, let's give him a shot here and see how it goes. I mean, they're in the spot where they kind of had to try and see whatever was going to work. Just handled it very well in my eyes. And that's been really nice to see. And, you know, that performance is great. I love the way Rasmus Asplund's played. Last season when Granato took over, he really, you know, Asplund had he kind of popped off a bit. And, you know, he scored it like, he wasn't shooting a lot, but most everything he was shooting was going in. So that was good. But, man, his forecheck game's really solid. And he and Bjork together on a line is pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. And I like the way that line's been very much on top of opponents, and that helps drive them. That's really good to see. And you know what? Robert Hague too. I'll name a few off there. Robert Hague and Mark Pesek have been really good as the third pairing. You know, like that's all you can ask for. And, you know, they're getting defensive deployment almost exclusively. So what you're getting out of these guys is everything you could ask for. Like, you know, anything that they're being asked to do and that you want them to fill.
Yeah, I would agree there, Joe. Sticking with the offense, Joe, it was really nice to see a guy like Jeff Skinner get his first goal of the season and, mind you, be a game-winning goal in that third period against the Canucks. Just how much do you think that Jeff Skinner's game can turn around this season? And before the season, I wrote a bold predictions article for our website, WGR550.com, saying that, you know, Jeff Skinner gets back to the 30-goal mark again this upcoming season. Do you think that he can do that this year, or do you think that he can ever do that again in his NHL career?
I think 30 is an attainable goal for him. Just because he's had his two worst shooting seasons of his career the last 2 years. And, you know, that defies everything with his, you know, with what he's done before that. I mean, obviously, you know, the year he scored 40, he scored at a ridiculous rate. I mean, he shot 20% for most of that season before he, you know, the month and a half cool down period towards the end where, you know, nobody was scoring for the Sabres, you know, brought him back to earth a bit. But his sort of game and the way that they're playing offense in the zone, where it's a lot of shots, you know, just taking, you know, I mean, it's not dumb shots either. I mean, these are shots, you know, in close. They're not taking point shots like crazy, but Skinner's so good around the net that that he can find those rebounds and take advantage of, you know, being a little bit smaller than the defenseman and finding those loose ways to go around. And, you know, he doesn't mind banging around down low. So to me, that makes him a natural fit for having a better season in that regard. But even the way that they're playing all up the ice and forechecking like crazy, he's so good at picking the puck off a stick and going with it. Like that to me plays into the strengths of his game, playing that brand of hockey, because, you know, listen, he's not the fastest guy. He's very, you can shorten the ice for him a bit and give him some runway like that. That's going to help him out quite a bit. I don't think 30's out of the possibilities, because, you know, somebody's gonna have to take charge in scoring here, but I, you know, you can call it a bold take if you want, Brayden, but I think it can be doable. This, or that might bite me in the rear end later on.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, this entire station over the past, you know, 5 years, it seems like we've had a few moments where we've gotten bit in the butt with certain takes or whatever from the Sabres. So we're used to it. All right. On to the defense now, Joe. I mean, Rasmus Dahlin, I mean, he took the puck to the face the other night, but certainly I think through three games, I think he's already starting to show the confidence with the puck, without the puck, where I think we're starting to see him come into form at the defenseman that we expected to see out of Dahlin when we drafted him first overall in 2018. Would you concur with a statement like that, or do you think that there's still maybe more that we have to see from Dahlin's game in order to see him kind of take that next step?
What I see from him, I see him rounding into form, and I see him playing with a lot of confidence. And I also see Granato using him in different ways, just positionally speaking, where, you know, especially when teamed up with Will Butcher, you know, having two lefties is sometimes a little bit dicey for some coaches on the defense, but both guys seem to be very okay with that. And Dahlin in particular, his creativity seems to come out whenever he's popped onto the right side. I mean, we see him play with the puck much more confidently, and his offensive game really seems to spark out with that. That said, him in his defensive zone is always something that everybody's a little bit like, you know, let's see how he does here. But what I see from him is I see him using the poke check a lot more and very effective, because he's got long arms, he's got long reach. Like that's perfect. And he's not letting guys just kind of dance up on him and make moves. It's about anticipating, and he's been doing that pretty well. He doesn't appear to be getting lost in his own zone, which is, you know, that's a credit to the defensive coaches for making the system a bit more simple. But man, when you make things simple for a guy who's got elite skill and elite talent like that, he's going to look a lot better. And I think we've seen a bit of that the last couple of games. I think opening night with Montreal was a little bit rough, but, you know, it's always going to be a little tough sometimes. But what I see from him is somebody who's starting to figure it out. The consistency is going to be the big thing for him, because we've seen it in the past where, you know, play a great 10 games and then, you know, have about five games where you're just kind of like, what happened to this guy? But it's a whole new thing now for the Sabres. So I want to see him do this more consistently. And, you know, right now he's on a nice streak, two games in a row where he's been awfully good. So we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah. Yeah. And another guy that I wanted to talk to you about on the defensive side of the puck is Jacob Bryson, because I noticed him in particular a lot on Tuesday night against Vancouver. He's certainly a guy that, you know, he was intriguing right off the bat just because he is a smaller defenseman. But, I mean, he's a good puck moving defenseman. He's smart. He skates very well for his size. But certainly the other night, he was just flying all over the ice. He was taking pucks. He forced a penalty with the high sticking penalty that drew a double minor penalty for Vancouver. Just, I think the one guy that I think still has more to come from this year and him being able to kind of blossom into something real nice is Bryson back on the blue line there.
Yeah, and you know what? He's being given more responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
He's quarterbacking the number two power play. And again, it's leaning into the strengths. And I think if there's something that you want to talk about Granato being very good with, it's doing that with all the players. And I think with Bryson, in Bryson's case, he was a very solid puck handler and puck mover at Providence. You know, we saw a little bit of that at the Frozen Four a couple of years back. And he's so smart with the puck. I mean, that's the thing coaches have raved about him. You know, Nate Lehman especially, he talked up and down about how smart he is in handling the puck. And we're seeing that happen now, that he kind of, you know, he's got a better idea of what goes on at the NHL level. We're seeing him be smarter with the puck, knowing the right moments to jump into the zone, knowing when to not push things if he doesn't need to. We're seeing that a lot more. You know what? Colin Miller's been a really good partner for him, too. You know, Miller's a nice, steady guy. You know what you're going to get from him. He's not going to be a high-wire act. Like that's what you need. And I think if you're going to have a guy doing a little bit more pinching in, Bryson is a great guy to do that. But, you know, to me, Bryson was a guy that if he could take that step, next step, and become a regular NHLer, it was going to be kind of in a Matt Grizzlick sort of role from Boston. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I don't know. Maybe, you know, if this keeps up, like that's a pretty good fit for what he can be. So I like the way he's played. You're right. I mean, he's played very well. He had a great game against Vancouver. But, you know, putting a guy like that in a position like the second power play where he can quarterback it a little bit, that's awesome. Like that you like to see that with a guy that's that young and coming into the league.
Finally, Joe, with the Sabres, I'll ask you about is pertaining to the goaltending with Craig Anderson and Dustin Tokarski. I certainly did not peg Dustin Tokarski to be an NHL goaltender this year. I certainly had him before the season, probably playing in Rochester once again, but he clearly outperformed Aaron Dell to be the backup to Craig Anderson, or even the third stringer, or however that was going to play out. But Craig Anderson has played pretty well throughout the first two games, and he's had to come up with some big saves. He looks very sturdy in net for a guy that only appeared in six or seven games last year. But I mean, he's done this for a long time. But how sustainable do you think the success of the goaltending can keep up? Is this something that, you know, as long as the defense ahead of them, you don't have to worry about much? Or how do you feel about the goaltending situation right now in Buffalo?
Well, I think the good thing in having Anderson is you know what you're going to get from him. He's a very tough competitor. You know, we've seen him kind of be a bit of a bulldog out there, barking orders out and, pointing things out for guys to get, to get in place and telling the other team where they can, what they can do, mm-hmm. what they can do if they get in his face. So that's what I've always liked about him, that he's normally a quiet, solid goalie. He plays the position very well and he just does a job. And like, he's 40, like, you know what you're going to get out of him. Like, and you just got to hope that he can keep it up. And right now it looks pretty, pretty darn good. And, you know, in Tokarski's case, I was in the same boat as you. I was worried because I felt that after he got a few games last year, my worry was that the NHL guys were going to figure him out and that things were going to be a lot harder for him. But, one game sample, we'll take it, pretty good. So we'll see what happens. I have to assume he's going to get a start against probably New Jersey Saturday. That is if he doesn't go on Friday night. But just be a solid backup. Be a competent guy and don't lose games for your team. That's really where the role is for the backup. And you know what? He was solid. He was quiet. You weren't too scared about where the rebounds were going when he played during the preseason. I think with Aaron Dell, that was a big problem. Mm-hmm. And to Tokarski's case, you just want a guy that can just hold down the fort, really. Play solid, play good positionally, and just do your job. And, having Mike Bales there to talk to him, that helps out. Having a person as well to kind of help steady things out really, really does the job. If it can last, hey, that's a sweet bonus for the Sabres if Anderson can really ride this.
100%. Well, Joe, I know that you've been off for a while from work, but you're starting something new. Why don't you get a plug in for what you're doing now?
That's right. I've started a Substack, just like I think just about everybody's doing these days. It's Noted Hockey, notedhockey.substack.com. Writing about sports, keeping hockey very much involved with it, obviously. Can't really stray too far from the light there. But I'll be digging into some more Sabres analysis stuff here soon, now that we've got games to watch and things to numbers to analyze. But very happy to be doing this. Very happy to get back on the horse and writing some stories again. And hopefully, sign up, subscribe. It's free right now. Like, just hang on. And, whenever I write something, it'll come right to your email. So it's a lot of fun, and hopefully everybody can like it. But, yeah, notedhockey.substack.com.
Awesome. Well, very good, Joe. I'm glad to see that you're back at it again, and it's always great to get the chance to talk to you. I wish we always had more time on the show to talk more hockey, but unfortunately in radio, as you very well know, we have time limits that we have per segment. So enjoy the rest of your day, enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll chat again sometime very soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I look forward to it, Brayden. It's always a good time talking with you.
Absolutely, Joe. Have a good one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.